Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it is, that's right, it's St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day for all who celebrate. And for those of you that don't, well, happy Friday, unless you don't celebrate Fridays, in which case I've got nothing.
Head back to camp.
Yeah, there we go. Yep. Anyhow, so it's great to be here. And I'm, as I always say, so happy to start my Friday with all of these awesome people. And we might as well learn who the all of these awesome people are. And let's start with Dave. Dave, how are you?
Doing well. It's Friday. So glad to be here. It's always look forward to this every week. Still shaking my head with Ben and his hat, but happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Good to be here.
Yeah, for those of you that are listening instead of watching, Ben looks pretty glorious today with his I'm so Colorado.
Top
you have
hat.
A thing that does like this on your shirt, and I wanted to call it a green snowflake, but it's not. It's Shamrock. Not a leprechaun leaf. Oh,
it's a clover. I hate when I
forget words. Four leaf clover.
Thank you, four leaf clover. Leprechaun leaf. Come on. Anyhow, so Ben has his four leaf clover on the breast of his jacket, and he's got his green plaid shirt on, and his awesome green bowler on, and there is a rainbow behind him going right into his pot of gold, and that is not a euphemism. Anyhow, Ben, how are you? It could
I'm
be.
Good, Jeff. Top of the morning to you.
That's right. Ben O'Rathig. I hope I didn't offend anyone with that.
Too late.
The euphemism might have offended more people. I don't know.
Well, if anybody is offended, the Irish mob will be showing up in my house in about 20 minutes.
Only 20 minutes.
Second.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this checks out. All right. So if about 20 minutes from now, Ben just disappears and all we hear is like a scream and a thud, then hey, everyone, we have an opening on the show. Yeah. And Patrice,
if anybody's offended by any of this, then they're watching the wrong show.
Yeah. So true. So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's Friday. I do celebrate Fridays. It's been one of those random ones where like you're like, oh, I don't have that many meetings, and then you're basically don't have a lunch break and like all of that.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Yeah, but it's fine. Like I'm happy. The weather is really, really nice here. It's warm outside, like 50 something degrees. So what is that? 11 degrees Celsius roundabout. Nice and sunny.
Nice. Nice. Well, in comparison, it is sunny here, unlike yesterday, where it was raining and mostly snowing. Mm. And we've made it up to 1 Celsius already.
Wow.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I'll share a couple of mine, and it's not as cold.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I'll send you like 3.
I think that's how high we're supposed to get today. 3.
Okay, perfect. See?
Yeah. So it's working out. Awesome.
That's how the weather works. Now I figured it out. Like, because like it's getting colder here now. Ends up getting warmer where you are. So it just shifts the temperature from one side of the world to the other, right? That's how the weather works.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's it exactly. It's how everything stays in balance. It's it's weather Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, Chuck, how are you?
Speaking of,
I don't know. It just seemed like the totally right way to do that, even though it makes no sense.
Hakuna Matata does make sense for him.
That's true.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. I'm doing good. I wanted to let you know that Leprechaun Leaf is my Celtic punk band.
Oh, Chuck, this is why I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to make that into my Dropkick Murphys cover band.
Yeah, see, that works too.
Leprechaun, absolutely. Yeah, that works too. That works too.
Yep.
And Ben, you just look flat out distinguished with that little green bowler. Really do.
He does.
Of course.
You do. I think you should wear it all the time.
He should, yeah.
Well, after the show, I have to give it right back to my mom because it's part of her St. Patrick's Day decor.
I feel like your mom is letting you down because she's not letting you keep the hat.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's been doing that for 41 years.
Okay. Careful.
All right. Well, hey, let's do some news. And since it's the Mac show, we'll do our best to stick with Apple Focus News. And somehow we're managing to fit ChatGPT into this. So again, you know, okay. So here's the deal. ChatGPT is like a bad rash. You can keep doing everything that you can think of to get rid of it. And it's still annoying and it's still there. I mean,
but Jeff, what I think is really interesting is that it seems like there are very much two camps out there. There's the camp that says, don't rely on this. This is borderline dangerous and it's useless. And then there's the other camp that is, hey, this is really useful. And yes, you have to be a little bit careful with it, but it can save you a lot of time and be very beneficial. And the really interesting thing is I see people in both camps that I really respect their opinions on.
I'm going to quote someone who told, like, I talked about ChatGPT for today, like for work. Mm-hmm. And someone said ChatGPT is a research tool. And I think that perfectly summarizes it, because yes, it has some really good sides and some useful sides, and it has some sides that are not yet very good, but it is a research tool. And for that, it's perfectly fine. It's actually quite interesting from a research perspective, what is possible now with the new version 4. It's just not, it's not ready yet.
Does that make it bad?
No.
Does that make it like Wikipedia? And that's a serious question.
Wikipedia has outgrown that quite a bit. Wikipedia is way beyond just being a tool in research.
And yet there's still educational institutions that just forbid their students from quoting it.
Most of them have given up, I think. Yeah, no, it is from a research perspective really, really interesting, ChatGPT. It is something that's why we have constantly new versions and new iterations on it. It is on a research path. It's getting improved, it's getting feedback from the real world, all of that. Like what a typical IT project in a university would look like. And that's what it is. Maybe on a different scale with way more money than usual. Like, you know, most research projects don't get a lot. But it is on that path. And it probably has some, no, it does definitely have some real world use cases already that we could probably use it for. But we should not have an OpenAI is very clear on that. We should not expect that this is the be all end all. This is perfect and everything solution.
That's true. They've been very clear about that. They've also been very clear about the fact that they're considering ChatGPT to be a technology preview. And anyhow,
that's why it took so long for them to even release it. Like they had the earlier versions, they were ready years ago, and they for a long time didn't release it. Mm-hmm. Like, until last year, basically, because they were concerned about exactly, I think, what's happening right now.
Well, and some of those statements, you know, are designed to keep them from getting sued.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. For sure. Yeah. But I mean, I've heard interviews with the founder, I think, I don't remember his name, of OpenAI, and I think that he is quite clever and quite careful with what they're doing. Sure, I mean, especially in the US, you have to be careful anyway. You can get sued for basically anything. But I think they really believe that this is a dangerous tool in the wrong hands, and this is also not ready.
And not yet. Ready is a great way to segue into the actual topic. By the way, I'm just loving that I went to set up the topic and we immediately just went right off the rails.
Of course.
But that's totally fine. Yeah.
Well, and Jeff, I'll help you set it up because, you know, I agree with what Patrice just said, and I agree with what the founders are saying. And yet everybody is out there implementing it and baking it into their products, such as.
Nicely done. Oh, Chuck. Oh,
did someone else get ChatGPT meat bags?
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So here's the deal. The reason I started off with ChatGPT is because I'm seeing comparisons already to what Apple is doing now. See, brought it back with your help, Chuck. There's comparisons to what Apple is doing to what OpenAI is doing with ChatGPT. So here's the deal. Apple has a technology. They have code named Bobcat, which is natural language generation for Siri. And so it looks like it's being tested first in betas of tvOS, and then it will eventually roll out to other Apple products, but it's definitely in a testing phase right now. So based on the limited information I've been able to parse through so far, this sounds more like what Apple is trying to do is give us the ability to pretend like we're on the Starship Enterprise with the way we talk to our devices. And
yes and no. I mean, so there's one thing that kind of irks me with the whole ChatGPT thing. People pretend like ChatGPT is the be-all and all, the only solution out there, the only AI that exists, which is crap. There is, like, I mean, Apple has for many, many years had quite big teams on the AI side, on machine learning, on other types of AI. Machine learning is only one little sliver of the whole AI picture.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, even today, some AI in our phones. Might not be as visible, but I mean, Siri technically is, well, we can argue how smart and how much I in AI is in there. But Siri is technically today a sort of AI already.
Mm-hmm.
Not a smart one, but some sort of, there's parts of it at least in it. Mm-hmm. The voice that is being used is generated, for example. That is mm-hmm. no longer a human being. That is a machine learning based approach to generate a natural sounding voice. Things like that. There is so many things in our iPhones today already. And as I said, ChatGPT is only a small thing. So how is this story even any surprise?
That's actually a really good question.
Yeah, this is almost inevitable because Apple, you know, in tvOS, you can ask Siri to give you certain information. It's a very small step from, okay, it just rattles off a predefined text to it just gets the bit of information and the text that it generates out of that and that it actually tells you is completely generated. It just takes the input basically and then generates a whole sentence out of it. That's not a big step.
Yeah. And where we're seeing AI really shining, it's in the places where we don't see it. There's some pretty sophisticated AI and machine learning tools that do things in the background at the enterprise level. On our Patrice, you said on our iPhones, there the image rendering for photographs on the iPhone is using a form of artificial intelligence. So it's not like we're looking at brand new concepts. The big change here, especially with ChatGPT hitting the space, is that there's this novelty way of interacting with a form of AI that's very easily available to the public.
Yeah, and that was quite smart from OpenAI's perspective to do it that way. And it was quite smart from Microsoft to basically throw money at it.
Yes. I tossed another link into the chat that's just kind of a related story. And it's about Anthropic launching their ChatGPT-like AI called Claude, which is designed to be a business or enterprise level tool, where instead of just with what we're seeing with ChatGPT, it's a thing where companies can use this to supplement support teams and have a way to generate other content that the companies might need. So not really a public facing AI in the same sense that ChatGPT is. But it seems like with more of these tools starting to get visibility, it feels as if the evolution of machine learning and artificial intelligence is starting to accelerate. And where I'm going with that is, I have always felt that Apple has let themselves fall behind in this voice AI interface race, if you will, by focusing on doing things that don't risk our privacy. And what I'm wondering is if what Apple has been doing behind the scenes, working within the parameters that they've put on themselves, which I don't see as something that some other companies are doing, is Apple about to the point where they will be able to roll out an update to Siri where people look at it and they're like, holy crap, this is like a revolutionary change to the way Siri functions?
I really hope so. Apple is a secretive company. Like, while OpenAI and definitely every university out there are very, very public about what they're doing. Like, if you're in this space and you're paying attention, you know exactly what's going on. Apple is very secretive, but they have large teams of researchers in the background. I know that because I've talked to some of them in the past, and they are constantly working on new things. And sometimes, like, you see a paper here or there, nothing where you can guess what Apple's really doing, but they're doing research and they're making progress. So I really hope that they have something in. Well, I do know they're working on something, because what else would you need the people for? Right. I hope it's what we're hoping for. That I don't know. Maybe they're all working on whatever AI generating the chamfered edges of the next iPhone.
they would be perfectly chamfered, except yeah, they'd have an extra sure. finger.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Like, who knows?
You have two things, though, to a question for everyone to one of your points, and then the other one is a question in general. Question to your point about making it like the Star Trek computer. The few times I played with ChatGPT, I haven't found one or an engine that will read back the results. Is there one out there that will read the results to you?
Oh, that is just text to speech.
That's what kind of my point, Patrice. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't seen that. And I didn't know if I just flat out missed it.
I'm
judging by the looks on your faces.
Yeah, it's funny. But
I mean, that is the easy part because that is a solved problem.
Yeah, but you would think while the iron is hot, that somebody would be, you know, integrating that in right away, because I agree with you.
I think Microsoft is doing that. As far as I remember, they're working on that already.
Shoot. Okay.
I know. As I said, technically Siri is already kind of doing that, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Siri, unfortunately, so much of the time, and that's been the big gripe against Siri, is that Siri will say, you know, well, let me show you some results on your iPhone, as opposed to reading you something. And of course, the A-Lady gets more credit for being able to actually vocalize. I was about to say verbalize, and that's not right. But I guess vocalize those results. And with ChatGPT seeming to outdo both of them, is there, I'm just shocked that somebody hasn't plugged that in, because it does not seem like it would be that big.
Someone probably has. I just haven't paid attention to it.
Yeah.
But Jeff, the question that I wanted to ask you, because you sort of danced around one that was in my head.
Mm-hmm.
With all the things that everyone is asking ChatGPT, is any, because I know some people that have done it with like legal things, you know, and is anybody giving any thought to what you're feeding these engines and what it's saying about you? And, you know, are these engines gathering up yet more information about us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's actually a lot of talk about that. There are a lot of articles that are out there that discuss that very topic. There are discussions about the ethical implications, about ownership rights, about stealing content, so there's a lot that's going on with the discussions there. Tied into that is the concern that I have, which is we know that many of these types of tools are building their data model by scraping information from the internet. So they're now pumping information out onto the internet, which means that they will, if they aren't already, at some point start scraping the information that other AIs are dumping out. And at what point do we have a data pool that is really skewed and contaminated, because it is just basically a self-referential AI loop?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jeff,
honestly, there's one thing about this whole discussion that a little bit annoys me. The second something comes out, I mean, there's people like me who are very excited about it for probably the wrong reasons, and then everybody just jumps on finding issues with it, finding flaws, making it, it steals, it's bad, it's illegal, it's like taking away our jobs, like all of that. And I'm kind of that's what I really liked about the OpenAI people. They're very they're very cautious, but they're also very optimistic at the same time, which sounds weird, but that's how they are.
Well, Patrice, that makes sense, because they've spent a long time developing the whole OpenAI system. And where it is right now is ChatGPT. they have something that they know is still in the very early stages of development. And while we can complain, and I have shared some of the issues that I think at some point will have to be addressed, this is still really early in the game. And look at what this system is capable of this early in the game. What will tools like ChatGPT be capable of when they are further developed? And I mean, where is this going to be 5 years from now?
Way further down the line.
Yeah, probably not as much as you think.
But the funny thing is, but it will be fascinating.
Yeah, but Jeff, the funny thing is, and Patrice, I take your point completely because I get very tired of the negativity too. I'm actually sort of less concerned about 5 years from now than I am about right now. And Jeff, what I was referring to, I mean, you're right. The ownership of ChatGPT generated works is I've seen some of those articles, but I'm talking about the concerns we all had about what we're telling Siri and what we're telling Google and what we're telling, you know, the A-Lady as we, you know, we ask them, you know, what their opinion is of what's your opinion of the Academy Awards or the Oscars or whatever was done the other night, you know, and so that right away means that tells somebody that I'm interested in that particular award show. And if I ask a more specific question, then I'm telling them that I'm more interested in that a particular movie, a particular actor. I mean, there's data to be mined from that. And that's where my question is what are we doing with that? And how concerned should we be over that part of it?
Not very much. Because if you're not already concerned about it, then it doesn't matter. Because you're putting all of that right now into Google, into your social media, into a million other places already.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Patrice. Yeah. The horse already left the barn, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's too late for that.
We're using Google all the time to look for this kind of stuff, and ChatGPT is just kind of narrowing it down. When it comes to, I use it a lot of times just to check my writing, make sure I'm doing things right. I'm not the greatest of writers, but I think I do okay. But you know, I kind of like that, having that as a tool just to compare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grammarly is integrating it, for example, as well. Yeah, Grammarly, which totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense.
I've been using as well in the corporate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So adding into this from the novelty side, yes, Carrot Weather has integrated ChatGPT. And this is
bags.
And this is an absolutely glorious use of technology that not that long ago people couldn't even conceive of. And now what's it being used for? To tell you jokes. Well done. So the way it works is with the most recent Carrot Weather update that came out as we're recording a couple days ago.
Yeah.
You now have the ability to interact with Carrot, where it's using ChatGPT as its engine for coming up with appropriately snarky responses. And it's actually a really clever use of this technology, and it's fun.
Since it is completely a creative thing, it doesn't matter how accurate it is. Like, the facts don't matter in this case.
Right.
This is comedy, so
it's absolutely comedy. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw, I think it was on Mastodon, shortly after the Carrot Weather update rolled out, someone posted a screenshot of their interaction, and they asked Carrot Weather to, what they thought about a scenario where you're on a bus, there's a bomb on the bus, and if you go slower than 50 miles an hour, the bus will explode. Mm-hmm. And so Carrot Weather's response was, "No, I'm not on the bus. you and me, we're just hanging out off to the side. Let's have drinks and watch it blow up. And and then the person replied back, okay, here's the plot twist. You actually are on the bus or something like that. But, you know, making it very clear, we can't just watch from the sidelines. We're on the bus for this scenario. And it replies with, why don't you just cut the wires on the bomb? It can't be that hard. And I'm like, yes, yes, we get it.
See, and there goes the plot for Speed.
Right. I don't know whether to laugh or cry at some of this.
Yeah, but that's the fun. See, that's the thing for me. This is this is interesting from a technical and from as in a research and mm-hmm. so on perspective, from a future perspective. I'm very future oriented, but I also think it's a lot of fun, and we should have some fun in our lives. Don't take everything so serious.
Patrice, you know what? I'm sitting here taking that in, and I agree with you. It's just that we were having fun. I feel like when we start to have fun, we stop paying attention, and then people start taking advantage of us. I mean, we were all having fun checking in at our favorite restaurant and our favorite, you know, where
Square.
Foursquare. And we were having fun posting, you know, all kind of details about our life to Facebook. Yeah. And then we found out somebody was taking advantage of us.
The fun has to end eventually, but currently, right now, I would simply say, take it, have some fun with it, and then we can start thinking about the real world.
I've become a bit more cautious, you know, about implementing certain things, especially when it's asking me to give it information.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the it's ridiculous where it's getting added right now. Like, this is a hype. Everybody's adding it for the stupidest reasons sometimes. Yeah, that's going to go away.
Yeah, it's okay. So
need input. Oh, that's good, Ben.
Yeah, nice, Ben. I like that.
I'm yeah. All right. So I'm kind of like in the middle.
That was a fun movie.
between you and Patrice, Chuck. So we've made, in that sense, we've made a philosophical Jeff sandwich, because I'm feeling like yes, we need. We need to be paying attention and be cognizant of privacy, security, safety, and data abuse. At the same time, we do need to have fun. And so where I see this right now, using carrot weather as the example, we have the opportunity to have fun and enjoy the fun part of interacting with tools like this, while knowing at the same time there's a very active group of people that is always vigilant about protecting privacy, protecting our rights, protecting data ownership, and so we have that group that is willing to forsake the fun part to always be watching to try and protect all of us in that sense. So we get to have fun until we need to take some other action, knowing that there is a group of people that already has our back, and they can be the not fun people so that we can have a little bit of fun.
And it is fun. I mean, it was fun for me. Stable Diffusion is a lot of fun. It's another type of ML. Like, it's a lot of fun just playing with it. And yes, there are real world implications. There are real world applications. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeff, can you give me a recommendation on my application for the not fun people?
A recommendation for the not fun people.
No, that I'm applying to be one of those not fun people. I'm looking to be hired because I might as well leverage what I've got.
Yeah, move to Germany. There's like a whole country.
There you go. Is your passport up to date?
Glad I didn't say that, Patrice.
Well, I can say that because I'm German. So.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, man. So
that's why my family left.
Yeah, see?
Because you were too they were ready for fun. Yeah. You know, when we started the conversation at the beginning of the show, I was thinking, okay, this is a fast thing. Mm-hmm. I'll talk a little bit about carrot weather and then we'll hit the next thing. And after that, we'll just kind of riff on other topics because all of this stuff is going to be short discussions.
Jeff, remember who you're talking to.
Right. I do remember who I'm talking to. And we can just go and go and go nonstop, super reliable, just like ChatGPT. No, yeah, we can talk.
We can go 8 hours and just talk about whatever your tax returns.
Yeah, but I've ruined my transition.
Seinfeld.
I realized where you rolled out of my mouth instead of TSO hosts.
I realized where you were going about halfway through, and I thought, "Oh, this is going to be really good."
Oh man. yeah. Well, unlike me, TSO host gets it right. Oh, man, I cannot believe that the word ChatGPT rolled out of my mouth instead of TSO host, because TSO host is awesome and they are super reliable and they can remember their name. Oh man, can't believe I ruined that transition. It was going to be epic. Anyhow, here's the deal. We live stream shows every single week where you can see things like me completely screwing up what should have been an awesome transition. You get to watch that stuff live. And the reason you can do that is because TSO host is giving us that bandwidth to make that possible. It takes a lot of resources to be able to live stream multiple shows every single week. And without TSO host help, we would not be able to do that. And so it's just great that they're being so generous and doing that for us. They didn't stop there though. TSO host, the host part, that should be the key for you to figure out what else they do. They host websites and they do a fantastic job. They're super reliable. And my question for you is, when was the last time you recall the BTN website being offline?
Never.
Yeah, see,
I'll say this, except for the one time Patrice screwed it up.
Okay, so other than exactly. The one time Patrice screwed it up, when has the BTN site gone offline? And the answer is it hasn't. That's how reliable and stable TSO host is as a web hosting service. So they're also giving us the server space we need to have a website and to have a place to store all of the recordings for the show, so you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes at your leisure over and over again. So we're so happy that TSO host is here being generous and helping us out. What you can do to express your appreciation for TSO host is hop on social media and give them a shout out. Thank them for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Now, if you decide, okay, that's cool, now I need a website of my own, and, oh, I found a great domain name that I need to buy for my website, TSO host can help you with that. They have a system that makes it easy to get the domain name you want. And so you get that, pop everything that you need for your website into your cart, and use the discount code BTN20 when you check out, and you get a 20% discount, which is incredibly generous. So thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. Despite the fact that I screwed up an epic transition. Oh, I am so disappointed in myself today. I am going to have to iron my hands after the show. Yeah. Anyhow, so well, actually, I could go do that right now. Patrice, while I go iron my hands, can you tell people where to find the chat?
Yeah, please don't do that. Yeah, you can find the live chat, our awesome, awesome live chat where we have really cool people in it and we post all our links, like for the news stories that we talk about and the cool things, the links to the cool things that are coming up, and you can interact with us, like have some fun in the chat too, since we're talking about that. And all you have to do if you want to join that is Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, 4 to, let's say, 5:30-ish, I would say, UK time. When we record the show, head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're it. And you can do the same thing, by the way, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, 7 to 8:30 usually, for the big show, if you're into the non-Apple side of things. But if you are listening to this after the fact, like in your favorite podcast player of choice, which is totally fine. That's what podcasts are for. That's why we record them. That's why we post them. Totally okay. You can still get to the content of the chat. You obviously can't do a live chat unless you invented time travel, which if you have, awesome. I have some tasks for you. But yeah, you can just head over. Otherwise, you can just head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up. You have to put in today's date, today as we're recording this, which is the 17th of March, 2023. March 17th, 2023. And then you will see everything that was talked about.
Reese, thank you. And I'm so glad that you were able to do your part so perfectly smooth, even after I completely fumbled my part. Anyhow. All right. So let's do some cool things. Who has the first one? And that would be Dave. And Dave, I totally endorse your cool thing.
Yes.
Damn you, Dave. You took mine.
Pixelmator Pro. It's an absolutely amazing photo imaging app. And it's like, so much cheaper than Photoshop and does exactly the same things. But the cool thing is they added these cool mock-ups now that you can do iPhones and Macs and iPads. They're mosaics here and be able to put pictures within them. They got the actual templates for a MacBook Pro, a MacBook Air, an iPhone, and an iPad. And it works really cool. Even an iMac. So they've got some really cool templates in here, and you can really have some fun things with this and put the graphics. But besides that, the application is awesome. I mean, it's just absolutely awesome. I need to use it more. I don't use it enough, and I pay. It's only $50 in U.S. and it's well worth the investment.
It's a really good app. Those new templates look so nice.
They are.
Clean. They're professional quality. I think was it on In Touch with iOS where I said that this would have saved me so much time back when I was making graphics for articles at the Mac Observer. I actually had to make my own templates for Apple products for article graphics. This would have saved me so much time.
Check his comment. That's episode 246. In Touch with iOS.
Episode 246. Excellent pick. All right. So, Patrice, tell us about yours.
Okay. So, I got two of them, and I have to check if I ever picked them, and I guess I didn't. So, those are the companies called TomTalk, I think. I don't know. I just pronounced that TomTalk. Those are MacBook sleeves. And they're really cool. I bought two of them. Like I had this one I bought, I think, right after I got my 14-inch MacBook Pro. Yeah. And I've used it ever since.
You talked me into it.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess I didn't pick it on this show because it's not on my list. And I bought one this week for my new work Mac, because I also got a new MacBook in a different color. This is lightly blue. They're really cool because they're like they have like padded edges. They're really well made. I have a feeling because I'm going to travel in 2 weeks, so I have a feeling that this is really going to protect the MacBook. And they're not expensive. They're like I think $20 something dollars on Amazon.
$22.99.
Okay. So, really, really good, really solid sleeve. Comes in variety of colors. So I have one, my personal one is pink, and this one is like slightly blue. They have like grays and everything you want. There's a little area up somewhere up front here where you can put in you can put in an iPad or something. But I put usually some cables and stuff in there. So yeah, really good case. Got two of them now. Very happy with them.
Nice. Go ahead, Ben.
Very ironic timing, Patrice, because I just looked in my backpack for the sleeve I'm using, the one that my current MacBook inherited from my 2012 Revision A Retina, and it's nowhere to be found.
Oh, so I guess you need a new one.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. As I said, like it's really nice and soft in there, which I really like. Like I don't know if you can see that. Yeah, it has. Yeah, for me, the edge protection was the corner protection was the important thing because, well, my last two work MacBooks had dented corners because I, at some point at some hotel somewhere I dropped the bag down like I was carrying and.
Yeah. And that was enough to do it.
Yeah, it didn't destroy the Mac, but it dented it, and I'm always annoyed by that.
Patrice, I had one of these a few years ago, and I should just get a new one. I've loved it, and the only reason I don't have the one that I had was because when I handed down the computer that it was protecting, I sent that along with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is, by the way, the Defender A13. Comes in different sizes as well. Like this is for the 14-inch, but they have different sizes for the A13. Right.
Nice.
MacBook Air too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Ben, time for your cool thing.
Oh, sorry. I was too busy looking at Patrice's cool thing.
Oh, I thought you were using that credit card you tease us with to buy one right now.
Exactly.
He's getting it out.
Yep, there you go. All right, so Ben, when you're done cursing your card, I want to hear all about your pure polished precision.
Okay, this is something that I found actually on Twitter the other day, and this really intrigues me. Everybody knows what a mouse mat is. This one is just a little bit different. Instead of being your usual extra thin exercise mat material, this one actually has a tempered glass surface like a screen protector. What Razer is alleging on this, number one, it's going to be very sturdy. It's going to be offer basically no resistance, and it's the glass is designed specifically for optical or laser sensors. So if you're one of those people who need ultimate precision in your mice, for instance, a gamer or someone doing some really high-end precision Photoshop type stuff, or should I say Pixelmator type stuff, this can actually offer a should be able to offer a pretty big enhancement. They offer them they're not cheap. They offer them in black and white for $100.
Ben, since I'm on a roll endorsing everyone's pick, I had an older version of this, and it was the smaller size, which fit my space better, and it was the white one, and it was fantastic. You wouldn't think it would make that much of a difference with an optical mouse, but it really did. And it was weird because the mouse moved so much smoother, but the glass has this texture to it, so you could feel the mouse moving. So you got that kind of tactile feedback, but you weren't getting drag. And it was absolutely fantastic. The only reason I don't have that anymore is because I don't use a traditional mouse anymore. But yeah, it was fantastic. So if you don't have one, then and you're using an optical mouse, then you should get this. I'm totally with you on it.
And if anyone's asking, no, I am not endorsed by Razer. I'd like to be.
Yeah, Razer makes some nice stuff. Yeah, I even had one of their optical mice at one point. It was not a gaming mouse. It was before they got really into the precision gaming peripherals. Mm-hmm. And I'd say it was the best optical mouse I ever had. Yeah. All right. So that brings us to you, Chuck. Is this something that I'm going to be able to say, oh, yeah, I've used that?
I don't think so, Jeff. I don't think so. But I think it is interesting that a leprechaun just endorsed a Razer mouse. But that's another discussion. So I'm going to tell you that. Forget that thing that is happening here in the U.S. this weekend where they bounce the balls back and forth and throw them through hoops. Completely boring, completely waste of time. Binge the center seat, 55 years of Star Trek.
Oh, my God. I can absolutely endorse this. Yeah. It is so good.
It is so good. It is so good. This will suck up 11 hours of your weekend, give or take. And it is well worth it. Because it doesn't retell every story or anything. It gives you a lot of behind the scenes interviews. I'm a big Star Trek fan. There were stuff here I did not know, from the early designs of the ships to some of the characters that the casting of some folks, people that almost made it on the show but didn't, and the ones that did and how they got there. But it is just top to bottom. This is just a wonderful, wonderful series. If you have even the most passing interest in Star Trek, I guarantee it'll hook you and you're going to want to listen. It's narrated by Gates McFadden, which also gives it even more credibility and just plain old enjoyment.
Will Wheaton is one of the producers.
I don't think I knew that. I did not, although it doesn't surprise me. But yeah, this clearly is like a definitive thing that is necessary if you're a Star Trek fan. And right now you can watch it on Amazon Prime, among other places, but that's one of the easiest to access. So I don't know, how far have you gotten the whole thing, Jeff, or just
I've been through the whole thing.
Okay.
It's okay. How funny. Everything everyone picked this week is something that I have some level of experience with and can endorse. So that's kind of cool. No, Chuck, I am so with you. I really enjoyed this. There were things that I had been told and read in like articles or magazines, whatever, in the past, that this documentary series shows were wrong. Like they talk about the costume change, the uniform change in Next Generations, and why it happened. And it was told by the people that actually did it, as opposed to reading it in an article. And what I had read years ago about why they had done that turns out was completely wrong, totally fabricated. And hearing the real reason, I was like, you know, this actually makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Jeff, the other thing that struck me about it, though, it kind of made me angry in places about the way that the franchise has been ping-ponged around by the studio and the compromises, the lack of respect, not as a Star Trek fan, but just as a franchise that, you know, that they just took so many risks with this. They made so many changes just because the suits said that they should or had to. And yet it survived all of that.
Yep. It's watching that series was almost like watching a soap opera, because yes, there was so much ridiculous stuff going on behind the scenes that by the time you get to the end of the documentary series, you can be genuinely surprised that Star Trek ever happened and ever continued and is still a thing today. It's just surprising with everything that went on behind the scenes that it's still a thing.
Yeah, I sincerely hope there's a season two, because I feel like there's so many more stories they could tell from the past, from the current things, you know, little niches that I would love for them to dig down a little deeper into. But, you know, for now, yeah, this is just absolutely spectacular.
Yep, I'm with you.
I'm with you too. It's good.
All right. I guess that means I need to come up with a cool thing still. And my cool thing does not have to cost you money, but you can pay if you want. This is a cool little app from the Icon Factory people, and it's called Wallaroo. And what it is an app for iPhone and iPad, and actually for Mac as well, I think, where they are creating all these cool wallpapers and desktop images. And so this app is like a manager for all of that content. So you have a way to easily find all of these cool pieces of art that you can use as a wallpaper, and you don't have to pay anything. But if you do one of the in-app purchases, then excuse me, that gets you access to the exclusive paid content. And I believe that if you are already supporting them through Patreon, that gets you access to the content as well. But it's just this really cool wide range of art. And so like there's some various Star Trek things that are in there. They'll do holiday themed stuff. Like actually, I think today they added in a new wallpaper that is this really cool pattern that's as apparently my new term for it, leprechaun leaves. And you know, it's one of those things where you see the pattern and it's like, oh, this is a really cool pattern. And then you're like, oh yeah, it's shamrocks. Anyhow, it's a cool little app, and they're adding new content all the time. So if you're looking for an easy way to find some really cool art to use as a wallpaper, there you go.
Very nice.
And I take it none of you are already using it, so no one gets to do their, oh yeah, here's my endorsement. Until next week.
Yeah, I didn't even know about this one. This is interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right. So I'm reading our comments in the live chat. And for those of you that aren't in our live chat right now, Ben is so happy that I used the correct term for leprechaun leaves. And Patrice just cost herself more money because now she just ordered another TomTalk product.
Yep.
Which color,
Patrice? Does that mean you're also going to order the mouse pad?
Patrice, you're muted.
Yeah, I realized I needed another bag for my travel. So,
which color, Patrice? What did you get this time? Oh, got pink. Okay.
I got pink. They weren't any other good options, so.
Well, Ben, I'm looking forward to seeing you show off your new mouse pad next week. I didn't even get a blink from you. That was impressive.
And that's not a euphemism either.
Yeah. Hey, you've got the Caressable credit card.
It's a crushable debit card.
Oh, yeah.
It's still caressable.
Still caressable. There you go. Much like all of you. So thank you for being here. You are all awesome. And and thank you for putting up with me fumbling my way through words today. It's weird. You know, I went for, it's crazy. It was like a month of being sick and having my brain feel like it just, like I wasn't firing on all thrusters. Like it was really thick. And today I really feel like for the first time in weeks, like my brain is functioning again. So what I'm speculating is that there was all of these words and thoughts that were just kind of stuck. And now that valve is open again, that all this stuff is just like pouring out and I can't control it. And
yeah, all at the same time.
All at the same time. Like when someone pulls the plug off of a fire hydrant, the water just sprays uncontrollably. And I feel that's kind of like what's happening here. Anyhow, so thank you to all of you for being here and being wonderfully tolerant of me today. And Dave, where can people find you?
They could find me at In Touch with iOS, at intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I am on the Mac Voices Live every Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, here on Fridays. And I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at mastodon.club. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. So glad you're here. And Ben O'Rathig, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at Ben Rathig without the O. On your social media of choice. You can find me at my permanently interim website at rathigtech.blogspot.com. You can now find me as a permanent contributor on In Touch of iOS. And Chuck's show, as long as he leaves the gate open.
You know, he hasn't closed the gate on me, so you're safe. I'm just saying,
way,
I set
Ben,
the bar
Ben O'Rathig, by the way, benorathig.com is available. Just saying.
There you go.
Yeah, I can have that website for one day a year.
Yeah. Break out that caressable card. Time to buy another domain through TSO host.
Well, for this, I'd have to have the green one.
Do you have a magic marker? Look, I'm just trying to help. Anyhow, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm usually talking bollocks, like Ewan would say, here on the show every week on Fridays on the Mac show, also Thursdays at 7 p.m. on the Big Show. Everything I'm doing, all the social medias, the podcast, the projects, literally everything, you can find on thepatrice.com. There's no the O Patrice or something. It's just the Patrice. And if you are looking for a cool Mastodon instance, or if you haven't signed up yet and you're like, hey, people keep talking about this, I should join some instance, or one that I trust, preferably, head over to techhangout.social, because that's mine.
Awesome. Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me pretty much all the time at macvoices.com, where we talk to lots of interesting people. Right now, we continue to play some catch up on some back Mac Voices Live shows while we're creating new ones even. Because there's just so much good content there with just about everybody. Yeah, everybody here at one point or another. They know they're all always welcome because the gate does stay open for them. That live show is 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And, of course, the website is macvoices.com, and I'm Chuck Joyner on pretty much all the socials that will let me in.
Awesome. Yeah, cool.
And a few you who won't let you in.
you sneak through the door when you can. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I have to tell people where they can find me. All right. So on social media, I am Jay Gamut, and I'm set up on as many of them as I've been able to find so far. The ones I'm active on, though, are Instagram and Mastodon. So when I'm not doing cat posts and insect posts, because that's the thing right now, I'm finding new bugs in my house. Podcasts that you can find me on most Tuesdays, because Chuck still lets me on Mac Voices Live. Then Thursdays here on the Big Show, and then most Thursday evenings, because Dave still lets me on In Touch with iOS. Then back here again on Fridays for the Mac Show, and then also on the Context Machine with Grant Chaffin. And with that, thank you again to all of you for being so awesome and putting a smile on my face this morning. You absolutely rock. Thank you to everyone that's here watching, listening live, and participating in the chat as well. We've had some great comments from Bob Beach. And so, Bob, thank you for that. And thank you to TSO hosts for being here and supporting us. Thank you to all of you who watch or listen later for being here and being part of the show. And Mueller, hope you're getting better. And thanks for making sure we have people to actually be on shows. Ewan, thank you for being you. Don't forget to join us next Thursday again for the Big Show, and then here on Friday for the Mac Show. Everyone have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you next week.